All right, well, let's grab our notes and we'll start with the notes from last week, the last section of that Illuminator section. And I gave you a little bit of a preview of this and some of the earnestness of my heart as I see the degradation of our culture and society and time. If you want to get your Bibles open, Genesis chapter 2, we are going to work our way through these verses at the bottom of the page. Does everyone have notes, by the way? Everyone got? All right, so it has a picture of a torch, the Illuminator sheet. You need some? Donna needs one. So, Eric, would you mind grabbing real quick? Eric Winook, I don't see Tim's back protecting us in the back of the building, I'm sure is what's happening. So, anybody else at all? All right, and Dave, a couple over here as well, Eric. All right, Dave needs some. Deanna, did I see you raise your hand? Yes, okay. So there we go. And he's got the other ones as well. There we are. All right, so Donna and Deanna and Dave. Yeah, is it something with a D name? I don't know. Okay, okay. Let me just start with a brief article dealing with our bodies and morality. Obviously, we live in a culture and time that the immodesty and nudity is becoming more and more common. That does not make it right. There are multiple reasons. It's very interesting. By the way. And I'll make this point real clear right now. God was the one that clothed us after we sinned. Who is it that takes our clothes off? It's not God. Okay, yeah, that's right. It's a work of Satan. All right, it's a degradation of what God has given us in the body that He's gifted each of us for it to be unclothed. All right, so I'm glad you see that big demarcation. So we've got to make sure that we remember that in the midst of all this. This is an article by a man by the name of Mark Alexander. He writes essentially an email blog, Patriot Post, is it? I believe he's Catholic. I'm not sure, but I believe he's Catholic. I'm sorry, that's not right. I think he may be Protestant. I'm not sure he's a believer, but a very moral man, deals with a lot of issues that I appreciate, not just politically at times. He's an army man or a military guy, and so is always honoring our military folks. He's got a long history in his family. The title of the article is Sports Illustrated's Objectification Issue. All right, Sports Illustrated claims it is solving the problem of objectifying women by running photos of nude models painted with a few slogans. I know this seems like something right out of a satire site. That sounds funny. You're gonna somehow fight objectifying, making a woman an object by making her an object. But this is precisely what Sports Illustrated is doing to justify its annual swimsuit issue. And he makes some other comments, but regarding the Sports Illustrated issue, a lady by the name of Jenny Baker, who's written a book, The War on Normal, talking about just our normal bodies and we need to accept it, and how Hollywood advertisement always put in front of us these beautiful, beautiful people. They define beauty for us, and that's not good or right, frankly, that we're all vastly normal people. And what we see on the news and what we see, I should say, in the advertisements and in magazines like this is actually not the norm at all. And it ruins people's lives as they contemplate that as normal. Anyways, Jenny says, regarding the Sports Illustrated issue, she observes, since 1964, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue has been objectifying women, making them just simply an object, reducing them to nothing more than a sexualized body. The positions, facial expressions, and attire all communicate a message of, I exist for your pleasure. This year, SI is attempting to attach this disgraceful annual objectification of women to the hashtag MeToo movement. The whole movement about harassment and so forth, sexual harassment. Asserting that publishing photos of nude female models will help fight the objectification and the resulting sexual harassment and assault. Now, what goes on here is that there's a total denial of reality. All right. Now, one of the lead, it's the lead female publisher, I think, for Sports Illustrated, and she has some just dastardly things to say, in my opinion. But she says her goal was to make, in talking about this swimsuit edition, her goal was to make the models as much participants as objects. She said those are her words, as much as participants as objects. Thus, as Mark Alexander says, inadvertently admitting to objectifying the women, all right, that they're just an object of sexual pleasure. Now, God obviously has made us sexual beings, has He not? We've been made from creation, male and female. And within God's parameters, there's nothing wrong with sexual union. All right? Praise God. It's how we are here today. I'm glad for mom and dads and moms and dads and moms and dads that bring the human race to us today. Make sense? That's in God's plan and God's design, and it's to stay there. It's to stay there. So let's go to our Bibles, and I want to just point out a couple of principles that we need to always take into heart and consideration in the midst of a very depraved culture. By the way, much of Western culture is worse than the United States. And let me warn you, all right, having traveled in many places outside of the United States, it's worse out there than here. Why? Well, because they're farther away from Scripture, the influence of Scripture in their life, and so forth. So be warned, be careful. You can go around the world, and pornography is very easy to find, very accessible, on billboards. You need men, but ladies as well. This is not just a male issue. Ladies, you need to go planning, preparing to protect yourself from those sins. Be aware of those things. One of the reasons I don't like to travel without my wife is for that very reason. So she can help be a living person in front of me to remind me, David, don't look. Because I love my wife. Does that make sense? That's really important. Okay, so Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And I'm not going to try to comment too much on this. I could begin preaching on all of these. I'll try not to, because I want you just to see what the Scripture has to say. And I think, as the crowd here tonight in particular, you know the Lord, you've known the Lord for a number of years, you can make the right application. And they were both naked, talking about Adam and Eve, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But then notice down in chapter 3, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat it and live forever, therefore the Lord sent him away. All right, so God admits that now the man, it's not as if he's become God, but now he knows what evil is. He knows good and now he knows evil. You see, before the fall, what did man know? Man knew only good. By the way, we're going to get there again one day. Praise God for His redemption. Aren't you glad for that? There will come a day where you and I will not be tempted by sin. Sin won't even be around. Satan will be cast into hell forever. And we will live a completely good life. Praise God for His redemption. But now, we live in an evil world, and we have evil within. Our flesh is wicked. Never forget that. Don't ever think that somehow you're going to be stronger than your flesh. So, God was the one that said, I'm going to help you, protect you from evil. And the first act He did for mankind in their state of knowing good and evil was to put clothes on them, to cover them so that they would be modest in front of the world. All right? Not simply an object of sexual pleasure. That's really important to see. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, all right? Again, I told you I'm going to do my best not to preach on these points. I'll let your mind, under the Spirit's control and direction, think through these. Matthew chapter 5. Sermon on the Mount. This is the in many ways, as we talked about this, remember, several years ago now, as we walked through the Constitution of Christ's kingdom, how we're to live now under His rulership in our life. Verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. We understand that, part of the Ten Commandments. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You see, Jesus is helping us to come to the core, the root of the problem. The Jewish leadership of that day had so diminished the commands that they had almost eliminated them. They would allow a divorce for almost anything. All right, and so they had diminished that command, thou shalt not commit adultery, to mean almost nothing. And Jesus, on the other hand, goes the absolute opposite direction. And it's not just the physical act, can I put it this way, of adultery that's the problem. Jesus says that the sin is in your heart, in your mind. If a man looks on a woman to lust after, he's already committed the sin of thou shalt not commit adultery. Now that's pretty potent, isn't it? That means, if nothing else, it means pornography is absolutely wicked and wrong. Did you catch that? Because it's a sin of the heart. Under the category of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. Pornography does not belong to the believer, ever. Ever. No excuse, no reason. Never, never. All right, don't lust. Now, there are two sides of this coin. And this goes both for ladies and men. Men, don't look. Ladies, don't make the men look. You are complicit to the crime if you become a temptation to the eyes of men. And I don't think I need to go into great detail tonight to anyone here to explain, ladies, you know what draws men's attention. Cover it up and keep it covered, thank you. Seriously, it's just really that simple. Be modest. Now, one of the things that we deal with today in our culture and our time and the way fads go, right now, tight is in. It is common lot for ladies to run around in pants that are not pants. They're just barely better than underwear. And there is nothing to be wondered about as far as the shape and the form. And other things, all right? By the way, I've even had some discussions in recent days to men. You know, tight as in, guys. That may not be appropriate for you either. It's not about our bodies. What's most important is our soul and mind, and I should do everything I can to draw people's attention to my biblical heart and my spiritual walk, not to the temple that I'm happening to live in, all right? So it's really important. So there's two sides of this coin. Don't commit commit adultery. All right? Men, don't lust, don't look. And so that means you have to live guarded all the time. At work, at your computer, on your phone. It comes up, it's so prolific in our culture and time that you must continually, and by the way, maybe this is an encouragement to you men, but I would encourage you daily, Lord, protect me from lust today. You need to stop and conscientiously ask the Lord at the beginning of your day, Lord, protect me today. Help me to guard myself. If you know that there's areas or places of temptation, don't go there. You say, but I... No, don't go there. Flee youthful lusts. Follow after righteousness, faith, temperance. All right, so that's important. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, all right? Chapter 4. And when we went through our series on Sunday nights in the Thessalonians, we talked through this, I preached through this passage, but let me just read the passage, point out, make a couple just notes to remind your mind of this, and may we be sanctified, all right? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so would ye abound more and more. So let's keep growing in the commands and truths that Paul has taught us, God's word has taught us. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. We don't have to question this. We don't have to wonder. This is God's will. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And the word fornication here is is a word throughout the New Testament. It's a very broad term dealing with any kind of sexual sin, perversion. All right, very broad. Anything that's against the commandments and dictates of God's law. One man, one woman for life. Anything that fights against that, argues against that, tries to break that up, that's fornication. Really is what it is, okay? So you say, man, that includes a lot. You're getting it, okay? That's right. Okay, here we go. Keep on going. Verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We are to control what God has given us, this body of ours. Not in the lust of concupiscence, all right? Old English word for wicked thinking, sexual thinking. Even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now notice, notice that he brings in the matter of possessions here. I am not to defraud my brother in any matter. Sexual sin steals from somebody. Never forget that. The pornography industry just steals from all the young ladies that they picture, that they take pictures of. They steal from those young ladies' husbands or future husbands. They defame and they denigrate them to a simple object of sin. And are those young ladies worth far more than that? Absolutely they are. They've been made in the image of God. They are of eternal value to God. And for us to treat them like some kind of plaything or object or just to look at is wicked and wrong. That's defrauding them. Now, men, you chase after pornography and grab the Sports Illustrated swimsuit magazine and enjoy it, which is a sinful enjoyment. And who are you defrauding? You're ruining your life with the wife that God has given you. It does hurt and ruin every relationship. No exceptions. They have given us stats after stats after stats, statistics, on showing how pornography destroys homes and relationships, brings ruin. You will scar your heart and your mind. Don't go there. Don't go there. So anyways, we are defrauding. And I think that to understand and remember that in the moment of temptation, wait a second, I don't want to cheat God. I don't want to cheat that person. I don't want to cheat what God has given me. That's wrong, that's stealing. Okay, and then finally tonight, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Many of you, in fact, all of you, know probably the verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We say amen. We talk about our body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives with us. We rejoice in that. I need to take care of my body. We often use this verse in reference to don't put tattoos all over your body. Don't destroy it with drugs and alcohol, smoke, all those kinds of things. What is the, and by the way, those applications I think are proper and right. I'm not poo-pooing those, all right? I'm not saying that's not good. But I am saying, let's look at what the scriptures have to say. What is the context here? Let's go all the way back to verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, Paul quoting the Corinthians. Oh, I can do any things. But all things are not expedient, Paul says. All things are lawful for me, the Corinthians cry out. But I will not be brought under the power of any. God, in His wisdom, has put us under parameters, even in the freedom that we have in Christ. Freedom in Christ is not free to go sin. Okay? So, they are dealing specifically here with a lot of their meat issues. And so he says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. Again, probably a quote of the Corinthians. And they're saying, the body is just a hunk of meat. No, wait a second. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. You see, they said, well, hey, you know, it's just, I can use my body because it's not the spiritual side of me. I can do whatever I want with my body. I can please it. I can be a glutton. I can be a fornicator. It doesn't matter because that's not the spiritual side of me. And Paul's saying, you're totally wrong on that. Everything of you belongs to God. Now the body is not, middle of 13, for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. This body of mine is not mine. It's the Lord's. He owns it. I belong to Him. Therefore, I must only do with this body what He allows and what He directs. Now, there's the positive. There are things I shouldn't do, but there's much I should do with this body, right? I should serve the Lord with it. I should use these. How beautiful are the feet of them that share the gospel of peace. Isn't that amazing that He uses a physical illustration? He uses the picture of the human body to picture the local church. The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. Or the ear to the eye. You understand? What an amazing thing that He used, because this body is God's. All right, it keeps on going. And God hath both raised up the Lord, talking about Jesus, and will also raise up us by His power. You see, the resurrection puts spiritual and eternal value on this body of flesh of mine. One of the reasons that cannibalism is wrong is not just because it murders somebody. It's because it desecrates a body that God has designed and made that He plans to have for you to have for eternity. Now, it's going to be glorified. It's going to be something different. But it's something unique. Jesus Christ is in His physical body today. And one day, this body of mine will be resurrected. My wife's grave. I had written on there. I didn't have a lot of choices on good cemeteries out in the Detroit area. Right? So she's buried in a Catholic cemetery. So what am I going to do? All these Catholic symbols throughout the cemetery and so forth. I put on my wife's gravestone, awaiting the rapture. One day that headstone's going to get knocked out of the way. All right? Praise God. All right, and that body of Deb's is going to come out of the ground, resuscitated. It will be her body, the body that God made for her and everyone else that has died in the Lord Jesus. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They are going to get their body back, totally glorified. You see, this body that I have, it's that we are unique people, something unique in creation. I am not an animal. Their bodies are not going to resurrect. There's no doggy heaven. There will be dogs in heaven. Oh, there's a cat heaven. We'll talk about that later. Okay. This body that God has given us is we are uniquely one, spirit and body. And therefore, we need to make sure it's the Lord. I'm sorry, I'm getting to preaching. But anyways, God hath raised up both the Lord and will raise up us also by His power. Verse 14. Know ye not, verse 15, that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? Oh, but the picture I'm looking at is just on the screen. It's not a real person. It was a real person. You're not thinking that it's not a real person. Your mind sees it as a real person. God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Therefore, if my body is the Lord's and I'm joined to the Lord, verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He defrauds the body that God has given him. The body that will be exalted for eternity. May we not do that. And so, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. We will have to. We will be the odd ducks in our culture. But let us be willing, because we love our God and because every one of our bodies belongs to the Lord, let us be one that will be the wallflowers. We'll be the old stick in the muds for modesty's sake. Because it's not about just modesty. It's totally about the Lord, and He's asked for it. So our bodies belong to God. Men, I would be so bold as to say, I'm not sure I would buy Sports Illustrated, period. I don't want to promote somebody that's destroying. And you say, you can't get away from it. I realize there's some reality to that. You can't get away from any kind of immorality. Almost every one of the stores that we go to supports immorality in some way. It's amazing. It's absolutely despicable. But let me say boldly, maybe that's not a magazine you should have around your house. You can get your sports news some other way. All right? Let's be careful. Let us not, and especially with our younger generation, let us help them to stay away from all kinds of sexual sin, fornication, because our bodies are the Lord's. Okay, well, I've preached long enough tonight. We'll start Hebrews next week by God's grace, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that these passages that we've looked at in particular tonight would cause us to think right about what we do. May we at Heritage Baptist Church be rightly and in a way that pleases you. Lord, it's not about us, and we don't want it to be about us, but we want to please you. So may we uphold biblical modesty in what we wear and how we look. Guard our men's eyes. Keep each of us looking to you. As we are married, may we love our mates rightly. Lord, I pray that you would help our ladies to never be a temptation to men. Give them the understanding to be modest and to be appropriate. And may we honor you with our bodies, because our bodies are yours, Lord. They will one day be standing before you for eternity. So may we glorify you in our bodies, which are filled by your Spirit, even today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, well, trust you have a good rest of the week. We'll look forward to Friday night and being encouraged by the music that evening. You're dismissed.